Thank you. Good morning. We are so glad to be here. And I traveled a long way this morning up the QEW. These skinny jeans are for the birds. we drove all the way in from Vineland this morning. It's tough through the rain and over a big bridge. And yeah, it was a murder. So I'm really glad to be here this morning. Again, my name is Mark, and I brought my wife with me, Wendy. She travels everywhere. Wendy's just going to wave to you. I'm not going to embarrass her by making her stand up. And also with me this morning is my assistant, Tim. Tim, you wave for me. Wave. Tim is here, and his fiance as well. But no embarrassment, okay? Just no pressure. Okay? Pastor Tim and Christine, thank you again for your hospitality, for your graciousness, for inviting us in. It takes a lot of courage on your part and on the part of your board to invite us to come in, because when you invite us to come in, it's kind of like going to the doctor's office. How many just love, you're just waiting, love to go to the doctor? You do? You're not well. Something wrong. I really don't look forward to going to the doctor. And so when we come as a team with Regenerate, it's just not me that comes. There's a whole team of us. We come to listen. We've been doing research on your church since back about 6 or 8 months ago, not just looking at your finances, but looking at your operations, how you administrate things, or how you do or how you don't. And we're going to talk about some of those things this morning. And congratulations on this The Future is Bright campaign. I believe in paying mortgages off simply because I don't like giving money to the bank. My son-in-law is a banker. I love the young man. I just don't like banks, okay? Because what Pastor said, $54,000 a year, you are giving to the bank. How would you like to take that $54,000 a year and do ministry with it, and do ministry and mission and all that kind of stuff? Right, yeah, that's a little better thing to do with it, okay? So thank you. I want to thank your staff. I want to thank Jennifer for everything that she does. She is behind the scenes. You don't see what she does. We've been here for 4 days. I see what she does. She could use a day or two off. That's all I can say. Treat her net well. If Jennifer comes to you and asks you to do something, if you whine, Jennifer, call me. I'm going to come. I'll hunt them down. You got no reason why. If she asks you to do something, just say, yes, Jennifer, thank you for the opportunity to serve Jesus. Folks, we are serving Jesus here. This is the greatest enterprise in history, and we get to be part of it. Do you realize you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ? Do you realize he has franchises all over the world? I've traveled all over the world. You can go into little villages in northern Thailand that you only see in National Geographic, and you'll drive in those, and amongst a Buddhist temple, you will see a cross and a church. And I go, another franchise. It's kind of like Tim Hortons, you know? You go to every town. Every place you go, I've traveled all around the world, and every place Jesus Christ has a franchise, and we're part of the franchise. And we have to wear that with pride, and we have to wear that and understand we've got a job to do. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. So I want to thank Jennifer for everything she does, Susan in the children's ministry. Great job. She needs your help. We're going to talk some more about that. Allison as well with youth. Annika and Joe and Justin, what you're doing, and the worship team. Thank you. Gloria, wherever you are, thank you for giving my wife chocolates. You've made her a happy lady. Okay. I want to ask you a question. Suppose for a minute I gave you the power to change anything about yourself that you can change. Anything. Now close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes and think about this. Would you be skinnier or taller? Would you be shorter? Better looking? Would you change your eyes, your hair, your teeth, your legs, your bulges? What if you could wave a magic wand? Would you, and change your outward appearance? Would it be a light touch-up, or would it be an extreme makeover? Would we not even recognize you? You see, we spend hours and hours and hours choosing the right dress, the right shirt, the right pair of slacks or pants, so that we'll fit in with whatever crowd we're trying to impress. We diet obsessively. which is good for our health, but it can be a losing battle because it seems, I don't know about you, but with me, it seems I can diet, I can do all that, and I exercise and I lose the weight, and then I turn around and it creeps back and it's there again. Hard to change on the outside, but infinitely harder to change on the inside. If there's anything we know about human nature, it's that we do not like change. And if you do begin to change, the change is always slow. And people try to change, and it takes time, and sometimes they abandon the journey. Think about the struggles in your own life. What would you change about yourself if you could change now on the inside? Would it be that impatient spirit, your critical tongue, lingering resentment, a lust you can't conquer, financial mismanagement? Would it be a guilty conscience, your inability to work with other people? Maybe you're just nasty. Yeah, some of us are just nasty and we need to get that looked after. Overbearing stubbornness. We all want to change something, but sometimes we just don't know where to begin. We dream about being something different, a better person. Advertisers know this. I don't know about you, but my email box is crammed with ads promising that I can lose weight now. I can make money overnight. I can learn a new language in my sleep. I can be a better lover. I've tried to delete those. We got a company that's worked on that, but I don't know. I received one the other day. It says this: watch unwanted pounds melt away. Oh, I really like that metaphor. It sounds fun. Take this pill, eat this supplement, drink this super-duper energy drink, and presto, unwanted pounds just kind of like in cartoons. Remember they would melt into butter? They would just melt away. Change is hard, but it's not the outward stuff that trips us up. It's the stuff inside that we can't seem to fix. So take your Bibles this morning, or if you have your phone, go in your YouVersion app, go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is my text this morning. It's an encouragement to the church. The writer to the Romans says this, and I'm going to read it up on the screen. You're going to see it in the NIV. Some of you may be reading it from the King James Version. Some of you may be reading it from the Message. I'm going to read to you from the Marcus L. Scrambulus Version, and I'm going to just kind of pull all the words together so we understand it. Let me start, and this is how it starts. The King James Version says this: I beseech ye, brethren, because it's the King James Version, and that's how it was read. The NIV says, I beg you. I beg you, brothers and sisters. I endear myself to you by the mercies of God that you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And then it varies here. The NIV, I like what it says, which is your true and proper worship. This is your worship. What we did, what Joe and Annika and the team led us in, was not worship. That was praise. That was an expression of our heart. Our worship is everything else we do 24/7. That's my spiritual act of worship. When I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, that is my either reasonable service or my spiritual act of worship. That's worship. Okay? Let's go on. Then the writer says, and don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove, that's an important piece, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, take your word this morning. Lord, already this morning as we lifted up your name and as we praised and as we sang and as we worshiped, Lord, that was the plow that tilled the soil of our hearts. And now, Lord, take the seed of your word and embed it into our heart and our mind and our life, Lord, that it would take root and germinate and grow and produce good fruit. That's our desire this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's two ways to change. If you study sociology, psychology, if you're a psychiatrist, you know there's two ways to change. You either conform to the pattern that you have already established, or you transform and move out of that path. That's it. There's no other, you can't vary from those two. Those are the two essentials, conform or transform. It's not enough, folks, just to have Bible knowledge. Satan has Bible knowledge. Yeah. It's certainly important to have Bible knowledge. I'm not saying don't have it. Have it. Get all you can. Boatloads of it. But you must be about the business of transformation. You must allow the Word of God to transform your mind. Because as your mind is transformed, your actions and your thoughts and your processes and how you feel will be transformed. There are moments in my life when I'm feeling really down, I'm feeling really blue. Can I read for you my devotional this morning? This was my devotional. I was feeling a little tough this morning. After we spend 4 days working with people, I get a little tired. And then my brain won't stop spinning all night because I'm praying and thinking about you as a church. So early this morning, and my devotional comes early in the morning, and this was the coolest devotional. Listen to this. Thankfully, we do not need to be perfect in order to hear God's guidance. I don't know who that's for this morning. Maybe all of us. We can still hear God because God is speaking to us this morning. We all want to change something. Knowledge alone won't change us. Knowledge alone will not save you. You have to do something about it. We change slowly. Few of us make lasting changes except under personal pressure or pain. When the doctor comes to you and says, and I'm picking on you because you're not like 10,000 ways out of shape. You look fairly healthy, okay? So, okay. I am. Thank you, Jesus. But if the doctor said to you, I'm sorry, what's your first name?
I matter.
Okay. I matter. Okay, I matter. I matter. If the doctor said to you, we looked at your charts, and you've got a serious heart problem. You've got some things that you need to change. What are you going to do? Change. Now, if some friend just comes to you and says, hey, you know what, Adam? You need to make a few changes. Adam's staring at me like, who cares? Go away. Who are you? But all of a sudden, when that moment of crisis comes, we all of a sudden realize we need to make a change. Coaches have been telling us for years, no pain, no gain. There's no health and no growth without struggle. If you want to be healthy, it's going to cost you something as an individual and as a church. If you want to be a healthy church, it's going to cost you three things. It's going to cost you your time, it's going to cost you your talent, and it's going to cost you your treasure. Okay? Are you okay with that? You still love me? Okay, I'm your brother in Christ. You can't hate me. I'll hunt you down. Long-held habits can be changed. Patterns of sin can be broken, but it's going to take more than a quick prayer at the end of a worship service. You can actually see significant growth in your spiritual life and health, but it will come at a cost. You have to die to your own ambitions. You have to die to the things that you've been doing, and you have to undertake a regime of obedience. I have some back problems. Between my doctor, my specialist, and all everybody else that I go to, You know what they tell me? Mark, every morning when you get up, you need to do this regime of stretches. Okay. So guess what I did for the first week? I did the stretches. And then the next week I thought, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't think I have to do those stretches anymore. And by about 3 days in, I'm going, I got to call the doctor. There's something wrong. And my wife, in her infinite wisdom, said, did you do your stretches? What stretches? Oh, those stretches. Oh, honey, that takes time. It takes work. And when I do it, it's strenuous. It's, you know, I'd rather be eating bacon and eggs than doing my stretches. Amen. Amen. I think what they should do is have cooked bacon on my exercise mat so I can go down, bite it, back up, back up. You see, transformation has to happen from the inside. This word transformed in Romans chapter 12 is actually an interesting word that's translated in English. It's actually the word you learn in grade 7 in science class, the word metamorphosis. You remember metamorphosis? That's the process by which a tadpole becomes a frog, by which a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Now this morning, if I was to come to you and I had a handful, and if some of you are squeamish, I won't go to you, but if I had two handfuls of caterpillars and I came to you and you were unaware of their destiny, and I said to you, do you know that these caterpillars can fly? He's looking at me going, oh, he crazy, man. You see, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't equate. But essentially what is happening in metamorphosis is, yes, caterpillars cannot fly, but they were born to fly. How do you solve that conundrum? Metamorphosis, transformation, regeneration. When caterpillar has been changed into a butterfly, it becomes what God intended it to be. Now just study the caterpillar for a moment. When you look at it, you think, that thing cannot fly. And you can't tell by looking at a caterpillar what it will be one day. And this is what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says this. Now, we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. And too many people of us stay in the what we are stage and not the what we will be stage. We are stuck with what we are. Well, I'm just, you know, Eeyore. I don't know. Doop-de-doo. I don't know. I read my Bible. Oh, I don't know. Doop-de-doo. No. It's not about what we are. It's about what God wants us to be. And we don't even know what that is until God begins to do the process of transformation in our lives. Now let me, you're probably sitting there going, okay, Pastor Mark, I'm game for some transformation. Give me something to do, okay? First step. First step of transformation. Your pastor already touched on it, I know, because you're in a series on regeneration. Let me take your minds back to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, this wonderful day when the power of the Holy Spirit is released to every believer. All of us. And the crowd who are watching what is happening are asking the question, what is this? What is this? What's happening? And Peter, under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, stands up in front of everyone and he begins to preach what essentially is the first sermon of the New Testament, the first sermon of the new church and of the new covenant. So we need to pay attention, right? What is the first word of that new sermon? Repent. That's how he starts out. The Holy Spirit speaks to Peter, and the first word of the first sermon ever preached in the New Testament is repent. So if you want to begin the transformation process, we have to first of all repent. We have to repent of our wicked ways, of our slothful ways, of our lazy ways, of the ways that we've been going, of the way that we've been conforming to the pattern of this world. And we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are all works in process, every one of us, which means that if we are a work in process, we are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are. You are. You and I. The church is not, please, this is not the church. This is drywall. This is wood laminated beams shipped to your church about 1964 from British Columbia. This is the church. Do you realize the fastest growth in the church happened in the first 300 years of the church? They didn't have buildings. Most of them were slaves of the Roman government or the Roman Empire, and they met after work. That was the church. That's when it grew the most. And we have such a difficulty going, oh wow, look at, oh, we got all this, and we can't figure out why we can't grow, because we're waiting for this to grow and we're not willing to grow. We're works in progress. That means Niagara Worship Center, you as a congregation, as the body of Christ, are going to come under transformation. You don't want the good old days. I'll tell you right now. I am 63 years old. I do not pine for the good old days. I do not want the good old days. I want what God wants because he promises me that today is a new day and his mercies are new every morning. I want new mercy. I don't want old stuff. You know, anybody want my water? This is about my fourth drink out of it. Or do you want a new one? I want living water. I don't need the stagnant stuff. So that means we have to move forward. What else does that mean? Have you ever visited a construction zone and seen how messy it is? Like there's sawdust, there's nails sticking up everywhere, there's drywall chunks and ends of carpet and banging and sawing. Well, that's us, because God's got us under construction. And you can always tell people who have stopped being under construction because they're not done and they think they're done. You know some of those? I know one, me. I keep thinking I'm done. I keep looking in the mirror and going, not bad. God's done a good job. Then all of a sudden I'll feel this tap of the Holy Spirit on my shoulder. Hey, Mark, listen. This is what I'd like you to deal with in your life. Oh, God, come on. I've just been working on this and this, and I just nailed this down. Like, yeah, that's okay. You're doing a good job. Keep going. Keep going. Mark, I'm shaping you into the image of my son, Jesus Christ, and you are not there yet. And you have to understand that's God's purpose in your life, is to shape in you the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. He's also preparing you and us, all of us, collectively, as the bride of Christ. How many have been a bride? That was a pretty big day, wasn't it? Did you just get up that morning, kind of go, nah, I'm going to brush my teeth today. It's too much time. I'll just kind of spit, drink a Coke. I'll feel better. I was going to shave my armpits, but yeah, I'll just wear long sleeves. I was going to comb my hair. Now, I will comb my hair today. No. It's the day the bride meets the groom. And listen, the groom is Jesus. And he has sent your pastor. Please don't ever fall in love with your pastor. You need to fall in love with Jesus. Because your pastor is a gift from Jesus to you. Do you know what to do? Ephesians chapter 4. To train and equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's his job. That's what he does. Your job is to make disciples. His job is to make disciple makers, to make equippers, to equip disciple makers. Exactly. So when everybody gets their jobs right, that helps. That helps. So when you go to your pastor and say, Pastor, the lights are out in the sanctuary, and he looks at you and under my authority now says, Mark says I can say, I don't care. Because you shouldn't. Not your job. Because every church is equipped. God, see, I just believe that this word is true, and when God tells me he gives every good gift to his church that he needs, that means that some of you are sitting out there and you are equipped to do something and you're not doing it because you're lazy. Hallelujah! I knew I was going to get no response on that one. Or you think you're too busy. Listen, we all function, the body functions all together. Every part works together. That's how transformation takes place. If you concentrate and focus on your weakness, you will lose your confidence. Some of you need to hear that word this morning. If you focus on your weakness, you'll lose your confidence. If you concentrate on God's faithfulness, you will grow in confidence because God is faithful. I can attest to that. I've lived my life. My wife and I, we've been married for 42 years. We've had ups and downs and sideways. We've been smacked in the head. We've suffered all kinds of things. And you know what? I can attest this morning. God is faithful. There's no question to me at all. He's faithful. I am unfaithful. He's faithful. We've got to reprogram and transform our mind. So how do I get this renewed mind? The answer is kind of simple. You've got to combine desire with discipline. You got to wanna. Say that with me. I got to wanna. Got to wanna. You got to wanna. You have to have desire. You got to say, I want to be transformed. And then you have to discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself in the word. That means instead of just going on Facebook, you need to go to your devotional every morning. Ouch, oh pastor, don't touch my Facebook. No, I don't want to. I'm just saying. Do you want to be transformed? Your call. Romans chapter 12 teaches us about metamorphosis in that God intends that we be transformed into the image of Christ. You here at Niagara Worship Center, you're entering a brand new season. I'm warning of that. And it's not because I'm here. It's because several months ago, your pastor, because we don't force this on churches. We just say, if you would like us to come and help, we'll come and serve you. And your pastor come, and we met down at Williams Coffee Pub down here, and we talked for a couple hours. And I could hear the burden in his heart, and he was saying, Mark, please, will you bring your team? And this is not about me coming, it's about our team. A team comes. You have a team of people. You need to understand this morning that there are pastors and churches all over our district that have received a prayer request from me because they're part of my Regenerate prayer team, and those pastors and their congregations are lifting you folks up in prayer this morning. Do you know that? Because we're a family, and that's what family does. And when he came to me, he said, I believe that we need to change, that God has something more for us. We need to get healthier. And so if that's the case, let me tell you a few things. Number one, the gospel doesn't change. Amen? The gospel never changes. It will always be the same. But what changes is culture. Has anybody noticed culture has changed? My poor mom, who's gone to be with Jesus, would absolutely die this morning if she knew I was preaching in a t-shirt and jeans. She would go, oh, Mark, honey, please don't do that. That's just, Mom, times have changed. I mean, I go to churches and they lose their mind when I read scripture. That's why I bring both, because I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but I want to tell you that I carry my Bible with me all day long. Just saying. Culture has changed. This world is dominated by screens. Everywhere you look, there's a screen. When you came in first thing this morning, you saw a screen. That's because this church is adapting to the culture. We have to adapt to the culture. But we are not going to change the message. Jesus Christ came. He was born of a virgin, came to Bethlehem, and was born in a manger. He was raised in the small town of Nazareth by a carpenter father, stepfather kind of thing, whatever. I'm still trying to work that out theologically, but that's okay. I'm good with it. His mom eventually became a single mom when Joseph passed away. At age of 30, he began his earthly ministry, and he traveled about the Galilean region, and he healed, and he baptized, and he ministered, and he fed the sick, and he raised the dead. And then he himself was crucified on a cross under the leadership of, and the guidance of Pontius Pilate and the Caesars of the day. And the Bible says he hung, and history says he hung and he died on a cross, he was buried, and he rose again, and he's coming back again. That's the gospel message. Real simple. The gospel message hasn't changed. What changes is how we deliver it, because we live in a different generation. Having a healthy church is a choice. And as followers of Christ, he wants to empower you. This is his church. Regeneration is God's method. God is constantly regenerating. Regeneration is another word for redemption, okay? How many liked the fact that you've been redeemed? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ shed on my behalf. I am redeemed. I do not die now for my sin. I die to my sin, but he died for my sin. And for that, I'll be eternally grateful. Hallelujah for the cross. God has a preferred future for your church. I want you to know that. It's not Pastor Tim's preferred future. It's not my preferred future. It's God's preferred future, because this is his church. He's got a plan for it. All we have to do is dial in. What's your plan? Often what we do is we go, well, this is my plan. And we don't listen to what God has for us. So when it comes to creating your plan moving forward, there's a few things I'm going to say, okay? And this is how we're going to finish up. We've got a few minutes. First of all, I have gathered all this information. We've spent some time doing interviews. We've spent some time with your board, with your focus group, all kinds. You folks have inputted. How many did the survey? You did the survey a few months ago. Thank you. Amazing work. You kept him busy for several days doing all the statistics and synthesizing that information. But we learned a few things, and this is how we're gonna move forward. But I want to tell you a few things honestly, okay? First of all, I'm going to write a prescription. You'll get it in about 3 weeks. When you get that prescription, just about the time this roof comes in, you got to understand that moving forward, it will not happen by accident. It will not happen overnight. What we're doing is not a silver bullet. It's not a quick fix. It's not a magic wand. It is just what I said. It's work. It will take 3 to 5 to 7 years. Those are my horizons, 3, 5, and 7. And in your case, I said this earlier, it may even go to 10, because you're a thriving, I got to say this, you guys are a thriving church. Do not think for a moment that, oh, woe is me. No. God has gifted you with great, great people, great potential. All we have to do is put the right people in the right places doing the right things. And everybody pulling together in the same direction. How many of you have ever been down to St. Catherine's to the Henley? Okay. Everybody rows and pulls. If one guy's going, oh, I want to go over here, you know what they do? I'm just trying to be nice, okay? That's as nice as I can be. No, let me be serious. Get on or get off. Get in or get out. If you're stepping up to the tee, hit the ball. Don't stand there. Don't come complaining. You know who I find complains the most? Wendy's just looking at me. She's going, honey, stop. Listen, I pastor. We've pioneered churches, planted churches, grown churches, built churches. You know who complains the most? Folk what not doing nothing. That's usually the one. Oh, they got a million great ideas. And we say, okay, how would you like to implement that? Can we help you implement that? Oh, no. I'm busy. I have other things to do. Well, you go do those things and leave us alone, because we got stuff to do too. Just saying. This is why you don't want me as your pastor. He's way nicer than me. So let me touch on a few things, and then we're going to close in prayer. And let you go home and think about this and pray about this. And pray about it and ask, how can I get involved? And how can I see people in this community, in this city of Niagara Falls, one to Jesus Christ and discipled, and experience the freedom and the life that I'm experiencing? Because folks, you got to know this is a dark place. You know that better than anybody else because you live here. Everybody else thinks Niagara Falls is all fun and games and marine land and whales and things and rides and blah, 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 blah. They don't know where Main Street and Valley Way and where the pimps and the hookers and the drug addicts are. My wife worked in a wound care clinic here for over 6 years. In her first few days, she came home and she was in shock. She said, "Honey, this is a dark, dark place. And there's a whole lot of people that need Jesus in Niagara Falls. And I never dreamed that one day I'd get to come here in this capacity and say, you know what, we're going to make a difference in Niagara Falls. Amen. We're going to find people. We're going to find more people, Isabel, off the streets. More of those girls. And we're going to bring them in, and we're going to see them changed by the power of God, and we're going to see them brought out of darkness and into light. And it won't be just the girls, it'll be the boys and kids in neighborhoods. I don't know. That's where we're going to go. And if you want to get on board, great. And if you don't, that's okay. There's a half a dozen other churches a block from here. I'm not chasing them out. I'm just saying, get on or get off. Get on or get off. The first thing that I noticed, now, can I get really, I'm going to put my corporate hat on now, okay? Because I've done church consulting and coaching for over 25 years. I've worked with dozens and dozens. I'm working with churches right now in Corpus Christi, Texas, Dryden, Michigan, Powell, Tennessee, all across our district. Now, I need to get serious with you, and you need to hear me clear. You as a church have no comprehensive vision. You don't know where you're going. You're doing a whole bunch of good things. I am not discounting anything that you are doing, but they are not linked together in any fashion. They're not tied together so that the whole body can be tied together. Remember, the Bible says that the whole body is fit together and all the parts work together. Right now, you've got some amputated pieces all over the place. And we're just trying to bring some semblance to that. The overall comprehensive strategy will involve one thing. It'll be all centered around this thing: go and make disciples. So you got to know that, okay? Because that's what we're about. We're about discipleship making. We're not about us having a good time. Because you know what the good time will be? When we see people's lives change, that's a good time. When we don't... Anyways, I got to stop preaching, get back on these. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing will be outreach. Outreach will always be tied to discipleship. You have a bunch of what I would call advertising events. You do wonderful things in this community. But again, you're not tying people back to the body of Christ. They don't know what's next. They've either made a decision to follow Christ, and then they go, now what? And there's nobody there to come to them and say, okay, and let me get this straight too. And men disciple men and women disciple women. You got that? Yes. Just, that'll avoid a lot of problems for you later on, trust me. So, yeah, let's hang out. Let's talk about your family. Let's talk about your life. Let's talk about your job. Let's pray together. Let's work together. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron. You see, iron in that context in the first century, or in the Old Testament, meant that it was two pieces of metal that were tools, that was swords, it was shovels, it was something useful. And what useful people do is they sharpen one another. So, first, overall comprehensive strategy or vision. Second, outreach and discipleship that is tied together. Number three, assimilation of people. Okay, I'm doing this gently, just so you know. My wife's giving me the eyeball, and I'm trying to be calm. You right now are a fairly friendly church, okay? You're a friendly church. You could define yourself as a friendly church. In other words, Welcome to church. Good to have you here this morning. Welcome to church. I'm glad you, good to see you, good to see you, good to see you. I'm up to four already. Let's go five. Good to see you. God bless you. Hi, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you guys. Yeah, bless you. And isn't that nice? I just shook some people's hands. God bless you. Hope you come back next week. Welcome to Walmart. Would you like a cart? Welcome to Canadian Tire. Would you like a flyer? Welcome to church. Would you like a bulletin? Aren't we friendly? Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. People are not looking for a friendly church. They're looking for a friend. They're looking for somebody who's going to say, would you go for coffee with me? They're looking to be invited. If you don't know somebody and they look new and they invite you, shame on me and you. Because we didn't do our job. You see, we've changed our language in church. I'm going a little long, but that's okay. We used to talk about people coming to church as first-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors? Oh, and by the way, one of the things I'm going to suggest is that, and this is not a bad, I'm not against your staff. I love your staff. Your first-time visitors should be parking out there, not the staff. Okay, just saying. Are you okay with that? It's on the plans. Okay, good. First-time visitors in the church will always be first-time visitors. What we have to do is reference them as our guests. Now, lots of churches are doing that. I hear the language has changed. We'd like to welcome our guests this morning. And so then I want to know, so how are you treating your guests? Adam, if I get invited to your house, am I going to get macaroni and cheese? I just know you enough now. I'm not. You're going to fire up the barbecue, and at least I'm going to get hot dogs and hamburgers. Because I'm a guest. I'm going to clean the house up. I'm going to be waiting at the front door, not looking like I'm anxious or nothing, but I'm going, oh, here they come, here they come. Put all the lights on, fire the fireplace up, you know, put the smoky candles on, you know, do Tara all through the place. You're guests. If you come to our house, we are going to treat you I'm actually going to treat you better than my own family, because my own family know what they're going to get anyway. Because you're a guest. And I'm going to have you back. And I'm going to welcome you. I'm going to do everything I can to facilitate you as a guest and to assimilate you into my life. And let me say this. If you are here this morning and that hasn't happened, let me, I'm not going to make an excuse. First of all, I'm going to apologize that it hasn't happened. Second thing, the reason why it doesn't happen sometimes is we haven't trained our people how to do that. And if you don't know how to do it, you don't do it. Okay, so we might have to have a session. We'll do something maybe in June or July where if you want to learn how to assimilate people into your church, we'll bring in some people and they'll show you how to welcome people so that the people not only come back, but they want to get involved. They want to be part of your church. Okay, so that's the assimilation piece. Four. Our communications, the flow of communications. You've got an amazing website. That's your base, and so we have to work off that base and tie a lot of things. So if we want to tie a lot of things back to that website base, but we have another problem is your church doesn't have a database. There's a bunch of paper around somewhere. Jennifer has some sheets of paper with some numbers, and there's some emails, and there's a few email groups. But all of you aren't on a database, and that is critical. Really critical, because you got to know where your family is. You got to know who's where and what and why, okay? So if at some point somebody in the church comes to you and says, hey, will you fill this out because we're going to enter it into the database? Don't get all freaky on them and go, it's 666, I'm going to be on a database. If you're that antiquated, good Lord. Listen, we put you on a database so we can track with you and help with you and work with you, know when your birthday and anniversary is, and if something happens, we can follow up on you. That's why you have a database, okay? That's the quick answer. There's a lot more other things I could go into detail. Children and youth. You have an amazing children's pastor in Susan. She's doing a great job. Wonderful job. She needs more helpers. She needs what her events are doing now connected to other events. Okay? You following me? Everything has to be connected. You start at this event, or you start in this program, and you go to this program. Similarly with Allison. What Allison is doing with your youth. We were here the other night, and I saw the youth. I went, wow, this is great. Where's all the workers? We need more helpers. People to disciple young ladies and young men. And you know what? Discipleship is really, really easy. It's most of the time it's just showing up, praying with people, blessing them, talking to them, okay? So our work with children and youth, we're just going to keep ramping that up, ramping it up, ramping it up. Finally, prayer. We're going to engage your church in 30 days of prayer and share triplets. And again, don't get all crazy when that happens. Pastor's going to outline it for you. I'm going to give them all the strategy on how to do it. And prayer and share triplets are basically this. Three people get together and they share and they pray. Isn't that deep? Wow, I don't know. And the manual basically says three people get together and they share and they pray. Over a space of 30 days, you pray for one another every day, and then four times over that 30 days, basically once a week, you gather together, and for 1 hour you pray, and you're going, oh, okay, now comes the tough part. I've never prayed for an hour. You know what? Most people who do prayer and share triplets, after they've done them, go, oh, we didn't have enough time in our hour. Okay? So we're going to engage you in that. I'm all done, but here's what I want to do. Pastor, I want you to come. And I want you to stand here. Board members who are here, would you, if there's any of your board members to come, and staff, is there any staff here? Or they're all out doing stuff, probably, yeah. Yeah, John, come on, Les. Just kind of stand across the front. Wendy, would you come too, honey? These folks are essentially your leadership. They've got a huge task in front of them. They need your support. They need your encouragement. They don't need anybody stabbing them in the back or talking behind their back. Don't waste your time doing that, because we're not listening to that anymore. You got it? Okay, you okay with that? Folks, I know, but every once in a while, some old guy grumpy old man just needs to come into your life and say, you know what, you need to stop doing this and start doing this. You're okay with that? Yeah, okay. And I'll try not to be too grumpy. I'm really a happy man. I am. Here's what I like to do. Will you stand as a congregation? And I know there's not room for 200 people at this altar, but there kind of is. And if you want to stand in support of moving ahead with Regenerate in your church and seeing some changes made, and seeing them made in a positive way, that this church is going to be so healthy that you're going to leave an indelible mark on this community, I want you to come and just gather around these people. Just put your hands on them. We're going to pray. We're just going to take a minute. This isn't long. It's not going to be involved. I just want you to come, just briefly. Just come now. Come quickly. I'm not going to ask you for any money or anything else. I'm just asking you to come and support your pastor. You need to look at this, Pastor. You got a whole bunch of people on your team. If you're a visitor this morning, that's okay. You can just kind of watch what we're doing. We're a little bit different and strange here, but that's who we are. Yeah, just kind of squeezing a little bit closer. If you're standing there and you're close to somebody and they're okay with it, just put your hand on their shoulder gently. If you're with your husband and wife, just kind of grasp their hand. You know what? Something happens in the spirit when we physically connect with one another in the right way, okay? So let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you. First of all, I want to thank you, Lord, that there was a day in every one of our lives that we were bumping around in the darkness. We were hurting ourselves and hurting others. But Lord, you shone your glorious light into our lives. And Lord, you took our burden of sin away. And Lord, you've allowed us to walk in a pathway with you. Lord, for that, we are eternally grateful. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We rejoice in that. In fact, Lord, we revel in it. And Lord, we revel to the point this morning that we want to see others come into that glorious light. And Lord, in doing so as the church, Lord, we want to pray for our pastor this morning. I pray for Pastor Tim, Lord, that you would strengthen him, encourage him. God, I pray that you would give him wisdom and discernment beyond his years, beyond his current abilities. Lord, powerful only that your Spirit can do. Lord, I pray for that this morning. I pray for this leadership team, Lord, that they would be knit together of one as one heart. Lord, that they would be working with one another, not rowing against, but Lord, rowing together. And Lord, as we work on some plans and some strategies in the days ahead, Lord, your word says to write down the plan, make it plain, and then run with it. Lord, if it's not plain, we can't run. And so help us to make it plain and run with it. Because, Lord, there's a day that's awaiting that you're going to bring it all to fruition. Lord, and the fruit is going to be so abundant. Because, Lord, when you make something fruitful, it's crazy fruit. Lord, it's abundant fruit. It's all over the place fruit. There's enough for everybody and leftovers. And Lord, I pray that abundance on this congregation, on this team of people, Lord, upon your church here in Niagara Falls. And Lord, ultimately, I pray blessing, and I pray that now in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Now, before you go, just hold on for a second. I got to say something. I want to bless you before you go. But you need to know, and I'm not getting spooky or crazy on you, you need to know, when I do these, I don't usually sleep at night. Because the Spirit's dealing with me, and my mind's doing 1,000 miles an hour. This morning, I couldn't sleep. And God revealed something to me, and I want to be careful how I say this. God revealed that some of you are dealing with hurts. Hurts from the past. People have hurt you. Maybe they've hurt you in church. Maybe leadership have hurt you. Maybe you've been betrayed at one point. And I want to say under the authority of God this morning, that can be a fear. I've been hurt. And I've been afraid to go and deal with it. The Bible says God's not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. I want to speak that to you, but I also speak this to you from the Old Testament prophet, who God says, a bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering wick I won't snuff out. But I will bring you forth in victory. In victory. The word is actually really unique in the Old Testament. It's a Greek word in a Hebrew context, and it's the word Nikos. And some of you are wearing them this morning, the Nikes. The word Nikos is victory. He will bring us forth in Nikos, in victory. And I speak victory to you this morning. Now let me bless you. I bless you with the truth that God is for you and not against you. May his power and wisdom be your strength as you enter in this new season here at Niagara Worship Center. May your efforts for his kingdom bring glory and honor to his name, the name of Jesus Christ, to whom we owe everything. I bless you with the truth that a new day is about to dawn, that will bring a new season and new fruit. I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day, and God bless you.